I think that we, first of all, to start off this session, we should give our condolences to Phil because he's stuck in Hawaii. On Hawaii.
Poor thing.
with his bride, paid for by a client.
Nice.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, it's hard to beat that one. Yeah. Welcome aboard, Tom.
Good evening.
Hey. All right. Well, Tom, you and Dan, I guess, congratulations on one front and sorry about the other one. I assume you know what I'm talking about.
Well, everyone else might not know you're talking about sports.
Oh, nobody, you might not think I'm talking about, oh, okay. So, hockey.
I'm having a volume problem. This is maybe just my own little personal cell phone problem. Let me just switch.
Yeah, well, it might not be. Oh, okay. I have a feeling, I know what it was. We were talking across the microphone instead of into it. So,
So maybe I can go back to my normal media, which was
okay.
My iPhone with my earbuds.
And I was just congratulating you Midwesterners for hockey and condolences for basketball.
Well, some of us felt good about Cleveland losing in basketball, some of us here in the Midwest. But.
Oh, is that right? Okay. I think the best team clearly won. But anyway, all right. So that was good. So, gosh, guys, what do you have to talk about tonight?
How can we help you? This is a Q&A session.
Yeah.
We are here to help you, and we had a few interesting breakthroughs this week too. So we'll share those at the end of the call.
Well, I was traveling, so I'm sort of behind on my clearings. I haven't done my clearings for this week yet, so I don't have anything specific to ask about any of my clearing doing. So.
Okay. Hey, not to get into the details, but I just wonder if you were able to connect with the woman. I want to make sure you got the information and.
You know, I got the information, but I did not. Yeah, I just went to the doctor today to get my CT scan results, so I was waiting to get that so I know.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
And actually, that's a good time to do a plug for how the software will help, because the software doesn't care if you're on vacation. You just hit clear, and it takes care of it. And that's what.
No, you don't even. You don't hit clear, and
that's
you just
true.
Schedule it.
That's true. You just leave it running on
nice.
The computer.
Yeah, tomorrow morning when I'm still asleep at 6 a.m., would you go ahead and start a clearing process and then do it again maybe tomorrow at 4 p.m.? Not that there's anybody lazy on the call or anything like that.
But it's about lunch time because we only have so much. And,
that's right.
So that's what we like about that, too.
Yeah. So, gosh, comments, questions, what's anything going on of interest?
Well, Ed, this is Phil. So where is the clearing software stand? Where do we stand in terms of deployment, in terms of coming to some kind of understanding of how we can use it?
Well, the decision is not made yet whether it's going to be made available to anyone.
Right. Last week's call, we talked quite a bit about it. So if you go to the membership site under the certification calls, you'll go to last week's, and we talked quite a bit about it. And I think I even put the timestamp in there about when that discussion happened.
Yeah.
It did. And I've gone in there and listened to it.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, do you have any other questions?
Well, let me ask you this, though. What is your perspective on it? Remind us of your business model, and specifically, you know, how do you see potentially using clearing in your business model specifically? Give me a feel for that.
So the model that I have is very similar to Danatoff.
That's what I thought.
With upper end, C-level, VP-level clients. And at times, I work with an entire team. Now, what I find particularly interesting is there's a technology group that I'm working with now. And
hey, do me a favor and be sure you're talking directly into your phone. You're a little bit soft.
It's probably the ocean waves crashing in the background.
So please try to talk above them.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that.
Poor thing.
So the technology team that I'm working with, there's actually, I'm working with three of the high-level managers, and they have some team issues. And so for me, what would be very attractive is to be able to engage them so that their entire team would be included. So, you know, I'm talking about 10, 15 people now. So what I see here is that depending on the price point and how that prices out, I think that could be a huge advantage, not only helping the manager, but creating that culture that he or she is trying to develop. And so this would be a huge time saver. Here's the part for me that, you know, when we started talking about the software, I went, okay, Team Mini Christmas, what's going on here? This is, you know, this is kind of a walk on the strange side. And then I go, okay, Phil, wait a second. You know, you're an old project manager. You know how to do a PERT network by hand and how to do the math and calculate all that. And how much fun is that? It's important, but it's mind-numbing. And I'm going, wow, to be able to work with a team, and even if the team were five people, that's a huge time saving for a significant result. So I'm going, okay, got it. You know, I don't have to do the math. I know that MS Project works. I know that, you know, half a dozen other project planning software tools work. And I know the theory behind it because I've done it by hand. Well, and I think there's value in having done things the way I've learned it from you. The other side of it is it's about leverage. And it's about helping organizations and more organizations. And there gets to be a point where there's a certain volume I can handle, and after that I can't. Well, I don't want to be constrained by me physically having to manipulate a spreadsheet to keep track of everything. And here's a good example. You know, I'm on vacation. Okay. Or being on travel. So, there's interest. The question becomes, how do you price it out and do it so that it works for you, and it also works well for us too. That's
Yep. Well, the dilemma so far is that most of your work, when I say your, I'm really talking about you, Tom, and Dan at this point, and Trish, because Trisha's got a business that she's just starting up, not rolling yet, you know, that would use this. And we haven't talked to the others. But you guys are only working with a few people at a time, as I understand it. And therein lies the dilemma for us in terms of the financial aspect of it. So,
I'm saying something a little bit different, though. So for example, the manager that I'm thinking of right now, and in fact I've submitted him for clearing, is he has 8 people reporting to him. And
okay.
Those people also are working with another set of 8 each. So there's a huge piece there. Now, what I have to be able to do is say, okay, well, if it's going to be $150 a person, and if that's the model that we're using, I'm just going to use that as an example. And I've got 9 people or 10 people, then I go, okay, I know what that cost is, and I can then engage that client to not only help him, but also the culture of his team. And so he may be covert or overt. His team probably is going to be covert for sure. But I can use the software to effectively leverage that. So what I'm saying is instead of doing it one at a time, I'm now going, okay, I'll price it in for the entire direct report team for that manager.
Well, see, that's the key right there. Your ability to price it in. That's the key. If you've got confidence in your ability to price, you know, the project in a way that they see the value, and therefore $150 a person is not a big deal, then that's significant.
And you could use, at this point, you could also use that story of the CEOs. That we talk about quite a bit, because the CEOs, we worked with their entire team, and that's why they saw 50% growth, because we worked with everybody.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was virtually all covert. Excuse me. Yeah.
See, I'm certain that if the price point were $150 a person, that I can price it to include direct reports.
Okay.
That's great.
That's helpful. That is helpful. And tomorrow we get to talk to Gail and Elizabeth. And they have, I think they have more of a training model than a pure one-on-one coaching model. So depending on their perspective, I think we'll be ready to make a decision.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's the interesting thing. When you say they have a pure training model, what does that mean? What are they training? What's the outcome of the training?
Well, I don't know what the outcome is. And to be honest with you, I'm making some of this up just from,
okay.
I'm getting a sense that they go in and work with groups more than individuals. That's all I'm talking about. I have no idea how large the groups are or anything like that.
See, and for me, I do group work too when it comes to the Arbinger material and the TTI material. In fact, I usually do a combined workshop that goes over 2 or 3 days that covers the entire thing.
Okay.
For me, I'm working on some opportunities, and if I could get the leverage from the software, then I would include that in the offering to the manager in charge of that group, and I'm thinking of a group in Canada that I've worked with. There's 12 people in the group, and they're looking for a higher level of involvement in specifics in the way the team functions. So to be able to have the software to do that, that would leverage my capability, and particularly because I it's not only the clearing, but it's raising the level of consciousness. Because I truly believe
that's a
huge difference in the culture. Then I can use that model, and I can get excited about it, very excited about it.
Well, that's great.
Okay, well, that's really helpful. That is really, really helpful. And
I hope Tom and Dan are getting some ideas too, guys. Are y'all? Y'all have similar models. Some stuff Bill's talking about might be a way that y'all can expand yours as well.
Well, Dan particularly already does some training kinds of things as well. He's moving more towards Tom's model,
right?
But he also still does some training. And Dan, I'm just curious. Do you think in your training model, the way you do your pricing with that there is room for including this kind of clearing in that model, or just give me some feel for that if you could without.
I guess I was already there, software or no software, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you know, so.
Sorry, Dan.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, charging $10,000 or whatever it is for a sales guy per year, or whatever other training I'm doing as far as sales management, and I'm throwing in software and all the other stuff. Yeah, of course.
For me, I'm there. What I get excited about is the fact that it still gives me time to do things that I need to do on a personal basis, and the mechanics of this is being handled in the background, and that's huge.
Gotcha. Okay.
I was in right from the beginning, just when you said 2,000 lines of code at a crack. I was in. You remember that.
Well, I forgot you were signing me up, Dan.
It's like, I get it, right? I've been doing this for a long time, and it's slow, you know, it's painful.
Yeah.
I understand.
Well, let's...
Okay, good. So I think that's great. Thank you, Phil, and thank you, Dan, for kicking in there, too. But I think that's enough for talking about this tonight. We're going to talk to Gail and Elizabeth tomorrow, and once we do that, we'll be able to move forward with a decision. So you'll know soon.
Yeah, and that's why we're spending so much time on this, is because we don't want to move forward on something that is not going to be helpful to your businesses. So we just want to get some good information from y'all.
Yep. So, just to be honest, we were very excited about it for just using it ourselves.
Yeah.
But if we can work it out, if it makes sense, then we'll move forward to make it work for everybody too. So
we're going to share some breakthroughs.
Well, let's just see if there's any other questions or comments first before we do that. But it's actually a great example. Go ahead.
I didn't have anything earth-shaking or anything like that. I'm going this week 6 on my group. So not a lot of feedback, so I'm still kind of waiting for some ahas yet, but, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, well, by the way, all of your people are quite high now. I actually haven't measured in a few days, but they were all either over 800 or on the borderline getting really close, which I suspect that they're there now. Mm-hmm. But remember, the software's doing it now.
I've tested a few, too, myself, and that's what I was getting to, so.
Is that right? Oh, great. Okay.
So this is not untypical for week 6 to be 5 and 6 to be pretty quiet, because a lot of, such much of the clearing is done in the first 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to coach people to look for the changes. And Tom gave us a great story that we use all the time, where he took his wife to dinner and asked her what the changes were. Asked her if she noticed any difference, and she's like,
no. She didn't notice a thing.
So you might ask them to ask, you know, somebody who knows them well if they've noticed a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always the same one. It's like, well, you're doing the behavioral debrief, and it's like, ask your spouse. It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and it's one of the things I like about, I'll sort of give Tom credit for it. Tom's model, with, you know, in the sense that I'm talking about when you're doing one-on-one coaching, I really like the idea, you know, somebody comes in the door, and you know they have an anger problem. Their boss knows they have an anger problem. And as you're clearing the anger, you get to ask them the kinds of questions, and you can have the opportunity to give them feedback that suggests that they should be looking for the fact that they are getting better with their anger. And what I like about that is, even if you're doing the clearing covertly, you're overtly guiding them to see the changes. And I think that's just a great opportunity that we didn't have with those two companies that we worked with, the whole company, for instance. We didn't have that opportunity to do that.
If you're working in groups and you're seeing the people that report to them covertly, when you teach them this sort of languaging of what do you notice, they can take that to their teams as well, and they don't have to tell their teams that they're doing the clearing.
That's a good point.
But they can use the same language with their teams. Well, what have you noticed that's different in changes that you've seen? And so then they can get that data to bring back to you as well.
Well, not only that, but the manager of a team, for instance, you get them thinking that way and asking their team members those kind of questions, they might get the feedback. The team members may very well say, you know what, I've noticed that you are they'll see it as managing because they don't know it's gone, but they might very well say, I see you managing your anger better than you have in the past. I don't mean to bring up a sore subject in the past, but Joe, I want to acknowledge it. You know, you might start getting some of that. And, boy, you just couldn't ask for more than for that to happen. Yeah.
Well, I was working with one that she's overt, and I've encouraged her to slow down because she's a big high D, and she shares too much and all that. And, you know, we've been working on that behavior, but it's been eating up a lot of her energy. So just to modify that behavior. And so now that, you know, she doesn't have it anymore, you know, I just invited her to, you know, enjoy the extra energy, you know. I mean, she's still got a lot of energy issues because her business is not doing great, but, yeah, at least that's not always the issue anymore. So,
great.
That's the only positive feedback I've gotten because I'm pretty close to her, and she's pretty enlightened to begin with. So she's been my only real...
But they remember completely, they actually forget that they ever had anger issues.
Right.
So having someone else point it out to them, it helped because they forgot they ever had it. I mean, it's gone from
there. Don't seek it out again. It's just not there.
It's like getting mole removed, you know? Well, you forgot it was ever there because you're not looking at it in the mirror every day.
Exactly. I noticed it in myself. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Just kind of a little mellower.
My daughter gave me an example of this in the car the other day, and she said, Mom, she said, you've changed a lot. I'm like, can you give me a time frame for that so I know what context you're talking about? She's like, well, when I was younger, there's certain shows that you let me watch, but you don't let me watch anymore. And she says, now you consider them inappropriate. You've changed. And it's like, you know, that's a really interesting measure of change as well that I hadn't considered. So there's a lot of anecdotal things that you notice.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And Yeah. So I'm certainly real aware that I have changed dramatically. You guys have no idea how much anger I was carrying around for most of my life. I don't think any of you knew me well enough to know that. But I'll tell you, it was there. It was there big time. And not proud of it. And, you know, I can give you all the reasons. but I'm just such a different person now. And I'm just so grateful for the universe, God, however you want to say it, of bringing the gifts that have helped me with my own self-improvement and be able to bring it to others as well. So it's been quite a journey.
Well, so, I've been seeing a clinical psychologist, and she's been kind of testing me. I don't think she's ever met anything like me before. She keeps looking for the anger. It's just not there. Oh, last week she tested me mightily, and it's like, she was actually having scared, you know, that might get angry. It's like, no, that didn't bother me. Bring on something. Bring it in, you know, but whatever. And she's actually had to do work on herself. I don't say a word about my stuff. But she does some pretty good
maybe you want to refer to
stuff. But I don't even mention my stuff yet to her yet.
Maybe you want to refer her to Last Two Games.
Yeah, I will eventually, but I gotta crack that code a little bit further before I even start mentioning some of that yet. Because
I understand. I totally understand.
She's totally traditionally trained, but I could say she's doing some pretty cool protocols that are, for the what do they call it, for the guys that come back from war and all that. So.
Oh yeah, PTSD kind of thing.
Yeah, so she's got these eye protocols. I'm not quite sure I understand what it all is, but she's releasing the emotion.
Yeah.
I mean, the event still might be there, but she's releasing the emotion type of thing somehow.
You know, you just gave me an idea. You know, from time to time, we ought to keep our hearts and minds open to the possibility of doing a service project of some kind, and we'll support that, CPI supports that, kind of a thing when it's not for financial benefit, but for just, greater good.
To give back
stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We're totally open to doing that kind of thing, especially now it makes it a lot easier with software. So,
And the only question I have about that is that we can only help as far as their game allows.
Yep.
So
yep.
If they're vets who are actually ready to let go of this stuff, no problem. If they're vets who still are holding on to the PTSD because it's serving a function for their game, we will not be able to help with that. So,
right.
So filtering process like we do for you guys would probably be. That's something we'll talk about or just let the universe sort out. I just want to help you manage expectations as far as that goes. But one reason we work with high performers and take them to world class is because they're ready to move.
Is that part of the protocol that they're ready?
Well, the problem with that question is ready for what?
Are they ready
to make changes? Yeah, they're ready to make changes, but it doesn't answer the question, are they ready to let go of anger or something specific? Now, for instance, I'll give you an example. I think I told you guys that I was clearing our neighborhood, raising our consciousness, our neighborhood. We're in a rental situation in a very blue-collar neighborhood that had pretty low consciousness and a lot of anger and stuff. And so we decided to do an experiment. Well, last week I saw a little 10-year-old girl being literally cursed out by her mother in their front yard so loud that you could have heard it halfway down the block. And it was shocking because I'd been clearing everybody. So I went and tested. I got that she was 67% angry. And I said, what in the world happened? And I'd been using the software. So I decided to do, I said,
gee, maybe the software's not working right or something. So I did it manually through a process. Sure enough, cleared her down to like 22%, and an hour later, she was right back to 67%. And the good news, though, I mean, and what Liz said is, well, she's not ready. That's part of her game, to be angry. And, you know, if she's not ready to clear it, you can't do it. Now, what I did notice, though, is that her caring scale had gone from like 80% to 96 or 7%. So that was interesting. And that stayed. So I don't know. I maybe Liz has something else to say about it. But
you can only do as much as your game allows.
So if her game is game here to deal with anger, you know, or not deal with it, but experience it, there's not much. Now, by the way, that doesn't happen in general, but it's also one of the reasons why we have chosen very consciously that our clients are primarily people who are pretty darn high performers already, and we want to support them in getting to world class.
Makes sense. Makes total sense.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I don't envy her and her work, you know, but she's good at it. But yeah, I'd rather work with my people.
Yeah.
Give me some good performers and I'll take them to great, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there are, if there's nothing else, there's a couple of things going on that we wanted to share with you. Before we do that, anybody else have a comment or a question?
Ed, I have a question. Maybe this is a Facebook thing, but I have a personal challenge that I will share with the group, and actually in a past call with you and Liz. I have an issue with my brother. And I've not done any clearing or anything with him, but to briefly state the scenario, I guess I'm looking for some personal advice and or coaching here. I am having a, shall we call it, come to Jesus meeting on Wednesday with my brother. My brother and I co-own a piece of commercial property, and he is the tenant of that property. And he has been receiving forever, but in the 2.5 years that we've owned the building together, he's been receiving about a $200,000 per year rent discount in occupying the building.
Yeah.
And as a 50% shareholder in the holding company for the building that doesn't have a conflict of interest, I am moving this to a vote that we either collect full market rent here or we find another tenant. That meeting is to take place on Wednesday. And, gee, what can I do to clear him for more receptiveness? Yeah, I'm not sure where he is with this other than he's been very comfortably entitled for many, many years. To borrow a phrase, this game is about to change. So is there any comments or thoughts or advice that you have in terms of life's new game that we could, that I might be able to utilize in preparation for this, encounter, shall we call it?
Your comments, sir. Go ahead. You seem to have a...
Yeah, because we don't want to talk about it on the phone. So how are you at a point where you are willing to make a decision point to clear yourself on this as well?
Well, Liz, the best answer I can give you is I believe, as I understand my own feelings, first of all, the reality of the situation is I am about to put a torpedo into his business. And this is a business that I was part of for 2 decades and helped to build and what have you. but it's been on life support for a long time by virtue of this rent discount. And I just am, I'm now of a mind where, you know what, at some point life support has its purpose, but I need to serve my own purpose and my own family and all that stuff. So emotionally, where am I at? I am ready to reasonably calmly do what has to be done to move, to find the best use, best and highest use for this piece of commercial property, and we know it's not with him as a tenant.
But that's not the question I asked, Tom. I asked if you were ready to make a decision to clear yourself around this issue as well as him.
I don't know why not, but I haven't addressed that, and I guess that's why I brought it up. And so thank you for turning it back to me and helping me see that.
So it's extremely significant, and this is a decision point and a really strong one for you. And for you to decide that you are willing to heal this is not a small thing. So here's the read I got on it. This whole situation was planned. This is a pre-sold plan event. It's not a little event. And you and your parents and your brother planned this long ago. They left the situation for a purpose. And you are not going to transcend that unless you clear yourself that purpose. So, and I'm not talking about any details as far as rent or anything. I'm talking about a situation that was set up so that you could transcend to the next level. So when I ask if you're willing to clear yourself on this as well, it's not a small question. It's a huge question.
And so, I don't think there's any suggestion that there is of a particular result either.
No. But you are choosing a path by how you answer that question.
So I'm not sure I completely grasped the question. I heard the question. Do I completely so am I ready to clear myself? So I'm asking myself, what does that mean?
You clear yourself on this, around this, you will see the situation differently.
Okay. I see no reason why I wouldn't be ready to clear myself of it.
Okay. Family things and special like this are set up so close.
You're breaking out.
Yeah, you need to repeat that. Yes.
Family situations are just so close to the heart. You know, it's hard to do these things without being close to the heart. So I would clear yourself in this case and test the vocals for your brother and clear for the highest, greatest good of the situation, for clarity, a vision, so that you can proceed from that new higher perspective. Part of what you just outlined in your past for this meeting is old. It's the old time to prepare for that. So I'm not saying that you're going to do anything wrong, but the vibration you're going to bring to it is going to be different if you clear yourself for it.
Thank you.
Yes.
It might interest you, Tom. I just did a little quick test. It might interest you that your brother was under 600 in December of 2013. So I didn't see exactly when he broke through into that awakening state, but the beginning of the awakening state over 600, but it's been fairly recently. And so he also, of course, is growing. And if it's appropriate, and if you sense that it's appropriate, you know, doing some clearing for him might be very valuable to the whole situation too. But I agree with Liz. You know, you don't want to do that without focusing also making a clear decision about doing yourself as well.
Got it.
Are you complete on that, Paul?
Would you repeat that, Liz?
Are you complete on that?
I think so. You know, it's a matter of what goes between the brackets. So I'll just ask, so from your perspective, what's between the brackets as I seek to clear myself?
I'm clearing yourself for anything around the situation. It's a type of trigger clearing. So you want to clear anything around this situation, because this situation is a big one. It's a big event for you.
And when you're literally saying it, say not just the situation, describe it, go into the emotion of it, go into, you know, the feeling, the background. Feel free to put a lot of words and feeling of where you've been into those brackets. Just your job and to put into the brackets is just as much as you can about what it is you want to clear.
Yeah, that's really key, because you want to get an emotional lock on that vibration. That's what you're getting, is a lock on that vibration. So, describe the situation that you can really, really feel it, because that's what needs to be cleared.
Thank you.
This is when you might talk out instead of writing.
I'm a believer in taking a pen and a blank sheet of paper and just brainstorming and putting things out. So I will use that technique because I believe in it and I think it'll help. So
that sounds great. Yeah, and then so when you get to the brackets, you can say everything on that sheet of paper, but feel it as you say it.
Right.
Cool.
We'll talk next week and see what happens here.
Yes.
And this is actually really good for everyone, because this is a tricky situation, because I had to ask you, Tom, if you were willing to remove the speck from your eye, right? Jesus said, before you remove the beam from your neighbor's eye, take the speck out of yours. No, I'm sorry, it's the opposite, isn't it?
I have never heard of that.
Well, just in case no one else has either. So Jesus said at one time, somebody was complaining about their neighbor, and Jesus said, you know, you really should remove that beam from your eye before you complain about the speck in theirs. So I'm not saying you got a beam, Tom, but it's really tricky to say that to somebody. So it wouldn't hurt you to listen to the process that kind of unrolled as we went through that. How do you help somebody clear something that they may not want to see? The question wasn't, do you want to get rid of that exactly, but are you ready to change? And if you're ready to change, then this is what you'll need to do that.
And this is nothing about what the results will be.
No, and there's no judgment there.
No.
There's no judgment there at all. It's your path. You choose which one you want to do. But I can see a different path if you do something a little different.
Yeah, you want to be clear in the process. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both.
Thank you for sharing that, Tom. That was very vulnerable and very helpful for everyone. So thank you.
Yeah, we've all had similar things, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
The numbers didn't look the same, and you know.
I grew up in family business too. Multiple family businesses, as a matter of fact. But yeah, it's no fun.
So just a couple of things. Okay. We actually covered these on the
we're up to 45 minutes.
The other call.
Yeah. So we're going to cover these briefly, but then you can go look at them if you
want
to. Go
do you want us to? Do you want us to, or do you just want to go listen to the other 15-minute call that we had with Bill? What's your pleasure? You want to leave, or you want to just talk about him real quick, or what? Don't everybody vote at once.
Yeah, it's sometimes it's garbled. I can't exactly hear what you're saying. So what's the choice again?
We spent about 10 or 15 minutes with Phil talking about some things that are going on in the universe and some things we've learned just in the last week or so. And we just wondered, do you want us to just talk about those quickly, or do you want to just call it quits and go listen to it on the recording from the last call?
Oh, I see what you're saying now. No, I've got time, so go ahead.
Well, let's just do it real quick then.
Yeah, because it's actually really cool stuff.
For my side of it, there are a couple of pieces of it. For my side of it, I couldn't figure out what Liz was trying to get me to do. She's trying to get me to hold the phone. and I keep pointing. I said, what do you want me to do? Anyway, we continually learn new things. And what I was guided to this week to some information that was just fascinating to me. And one of the things was the idea, which I just wasn't that familiar with, is that no longer do we need to be the idea of karma is no longer something that we need to have. In other words, the old belief in karma, the old sense of karma, and I think probably truth of karma, was that if you believe in karma, was that you keep coming back to deal with all this karma you've created. You kill somebody in one lifetime, so you got to come back and you got to deal with all that, and maybe you get killed this time, I don't know. But you just keep coming, dying and coming back and to deal with all this stuff. Well, the message was, you no longer, karma isn't, there's no longer any reason to have karma.
No, the game has changed significantly.
The game has changed so much, but you have to clear that there is a, I'll call it a subconscious belief that we carry with us, that karma is real, and that we are here dealing with all this karma. So, sure enough, I tested, and I found that I still had some belief of that. And in one simple clearing, I'm now 100% clear of any belief around karma, about the need to do this karma stuff. So I thought that was pretty cool. And in the same body of knowledge, the guy talked about our ability to hold more of God inside of us. And so I said, I can test that, I'll bet. So I tested myself, and I tested that I currently am holding 58% of God, or 58% of my maximum I can hold of God, or however you say that.
Which is a large amount for the Iron Age, actually. So that's not as bad as thinking it is.
Well, I thought it sounded pretty poor. So I did one clearing and then tested and got 86% that I could hold 86% of God, whatever that means.
And that's part of what this game is being upgraded for, is for us to be able to have more God-like, as it's also referred to.
So, yeah, so it just excites me that we continue to find new aspects of the game,
if
you will.
And we're going to be clearing those for you, too, now that we've tested it on, we've done our testing. This following week, we're going to be clearing that for y'all, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, everything we learned, we automatically put into the clearing list. By the way, the clearing list is now up over 3,000, somewhere over 3,000. So it keeps growing. But anyway, I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff.
Now,
it is pretty wild stuff.
Yeah, it is. Oh, you know,
wow.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
If you want some more details about that sort of thing, or we don't have any sensitives on this call, so y'all don't need that. But there's a sensitives alert, and we talked a lot in the 15 minutes.
I'm gonna go one step further. The guy gave a great example that I was getting this information from. He said, you know, medical people have doctors have experienced people who had a severed spinal cord, severed at a place that literally stopped their brain from being connected to heart, lungs, kidneys, all that stuff. So, based on basic medical knowledge, they should not be able to live. Yet they do.
Wow.
And can they move their arms? No. Can they move their legs? No. But does their heart beat? Yes. Do their lungs work? Yes.
Wow.
And there hasn't been a good explanation of that. Well, what this guy was saying is we've now discovered that there's part of our DNA that holds all the programming needed to run the body. So if the brain is no longer connected to the heart still runs.
It still knows what to do.
Well, and it is that part of our DNA that was actually programmed to believe in karma.
You may know it by a slightly more familiar phrase called your new game. It's the actual programming of your game.
Yeah. So there's this deep programming. It has nothing to do and we've always talked about how the programming is throughout our body, the 50 trillion cells in our body, that the anger, for instance, is stored in all of those cells.
Which is why if you have too much anger, you get high blood pressure and all those things.
I guess. Okay. All right.
Heart disease.
But anyway, I just thought that was fascinating. And he said the key is, he used this word. He said that information is like a program.
Mm-hmm.
In yourself.
Yeah.
If it's a program, guys, we can reprogram it.
And actually,
right.
We already were.
Yeah,
we already were. That's what we're actually doing with the process is reprogramming what he's described.
Yeah,
correct.
But we call it the game.
But what am I trying to say? My invitation. I knew there was a word there. My invitation to you guys is watch out in any of your reading, any of your listening, for any little hint of whole different ways of seeing things in terms of belief, and let us know what they are, and we'll just plug them right into the process.
Yep.
Yeah.
We're still clearing y'all, of course, because as part of lifestyle, we still clear you, and all the stuff we find, we clear. But if you share with us the things you find, we can clear everybody on those things too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. Very cool.
That's it from this end, I think.
That's plenty. Wow. I'm full.
Yeah.
Wow.
And thanks for
so
everybody.
I'm holding more God in me by next week, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
And of course, you can go clear that tonight if you're in a hurry.
No, I'm good. I got plenty of changes going on. I don't need any more. Thank you. But yeah.
All right.
Very
guys.
Good.
All right. It's always such a joy to be with you guys. So thanks for all you're doing to make a difference in the world. And
we'll talk
to you next week, if not before.
Sounds good. Take care, everybody.
All right, all the ball games are over. I don't know what Tom's going to do.
He's going to be watching the trophy, I think, is what he's doing now.
Oh, yeah, there he is. All right, guys, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The conference is now completed.